Welcome to Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Katherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Katherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Katherine Lang.
Hello and welcome to Growing Hope, where we are investing just a few moments to grow up hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. I am Katherine Lang, and I am your Rainbows and Lollipops host, because rainbows offer a promise of hope, and with hope, it all becomes a little easier. I see just how powerful hope can be in a life. I have also seen how destructive discouragement becomes when it is not put into check. It all started with a friend's house. She had been through some rough times, and I mean really rough. She lost her spouse, and then she began struggling through some serious health issues. Her home began to reflect her heart. Things became cluttered and untidy, and after a while, the house went into deeper disarray and became more of a prison than a home. She spent most of her time outside, more than inside, even when the temperatures were rising up close to 100 degrees, she didn't want to address the mess, not the mess in her home and not the mess in her life. I decided to step in and help, and I blocked off some time in my day to help my friend. Together, because we are stronger together, we began to sort through the clutter and the chaos that had invaded her life, not just in her home, but in her heart. With each cleared space, her demeanor began to shift. By the end of our time together, I could see hope taking root. She had her home back, but more importantly, she had a footing in her life once again. She found her hope in part because I made the choice to invest in her. Now, I know that my friend would never be in a position to return the effort. She wasn't in a position to return the effort financially, and she's definitely not in the position to help physically. I didn't do it because I was expecting her to do something in return. I did it because I knew it needed to be done, and I knew I was in a position to help. Making relationships a priority is not any more complicated than that. I made a choice to be relentlessly helpful without an expectation of return. There have been times when I got caught in the confusion of looking at the benefits for me. There have been other times when I gave my all and then some, only to discover, too late, that the other person was just taking advantage of my helpfulness. I'm learning to find my balance, and it starts with knowing what I can and can't afford to give. By setting my balance point, I make it easier for me to say yes, and I also make it easier for me to say no when necessary. And no sometimes is necessary, even when it comes to being relentlessly helpful. Getting to that point of balance only became possible when I made the choice to see things from a new perspective. My new perspective is expect nothing. I followed and still am practicing following these five basic tips to get to this new perspective. One, let go of the need to get. See, it will be relatively easy the first time to let go of that need to see a return. It may be even fairly simple the second time, but it is developing a consistency in this mindset that can be the real challenge. Two, what have I done for you lately? Or even better, what have I done? I need to be aware of the investments I am making and stop relying on the past moments of helping. Three, ask to help with clarity and with specific details. It is not just an offer to help, but to give a precise and intentional offer. 4. Keep room for helping. This becomes a little easier when decluttering is part of the schedule, and it's important that I find an excess of time and resources so I can focus on helping and engaging without an expectation of return. And 5, know the real source. The people that I engage with and that I build relationships with are not the source of my blessings. They're not the source of my opportunities, and they're definitely not the source of my happiness. When I understand that real source, then I free others to be focused on their own journey, and I free me up to let go of the need to have a return, because my return comes from the real source. Relationships are constantly growing and evolving and shifting. Sometimes I bear the most of the weight. Sometimes you bear most of the weight. Sometimes it's equally dispersed. All the time, the real source is there to do the work. He says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light because he is the source of everything, and through him, everything, when focused on him, becomes easier. When I release the need to get something back, when I let go of the need to have some kind of recognition or have some kind of payment or have some kind of blessing in return, when I find the place of not expecting that return, then I make room for relationships to grow into all they're supposed to be, because it is not a place of I'm doing a favor for you, so you have to do something for me. It is just a place of wholehearted, welcoming giving. It's the relentlessly helpful attitude that says, I am here for you, not because you can do for me, but because I am here for you. It really is that simple to begin making relationships a priority. The more I have to do, the less I look around to see what others may need or want. When you are busy pursuing your world dominance, then there really is plenty to do. Because I'm focused on my world domination, I can get caught up in the clutter of my schedule. But my schedule these last few weeks has been easier in some ways, but of course it's been more challenging in others, because I am making purposeful choices to engage in helping, in doing for others. The more I engage in helping and the more I seek out opportunities, the more I have to adjust my own expectations and my own needs. The more I practice this, the easier it becomes, and the more I end up getting done in the long run, for myself and for others as well. Mastering the art of releasing expectations does take practice, but it will make room for more than I could have ever expected in the first place. 1, let go. Let go of the need to get something back. It is human nature, or maybe more, it is society taught, that I deserve to get something for my efforts. Etiquette even teaches me that I should at least receive a thank you note. It does not always work out that way, and I shouldn't be worried about whether it does or not. I had an aunt that would get annoyed if others did not act grateful in one form or another. She would even get annoyed for other people. She'd get annoyed if they didn't do things back for me when I did things for them. Now, I suspect part of her annoyance was that when I did for others, it took away from the time that I could be doing for her. But it may have only seemed that way. When she would find out I was doing something for someone, or I was going to go do something for them, then she would ask me a litany of questions that would inevitably get around to, what have they done for you? She would then go on to explain how I was letting others take advantage of me and that I needed to quit doing so much for other people. I tried multiple times, and always unsuccessfully, to help her understand that I didn't do it because they did stuff for me. I did it for them because I could, and it was right, and that was all the expectation I had from my efforts. 2, What have I done for you lately? This should be the question that drives my actions. Or more simply, what have I done? Because I need to be getting back on track to be being helpful and being relentlessly helpful. I can get caught up in what I did the other day and forget that each new day presents new possibilities for investing in others and investing with others. Several years ago, I was in a position to do some major helping with a friend. It took several days a week, over several weeks, to get most of the work completed. Most of the work. Things happened in my own life that I needed to deal with, but I promised to come back soon and help finish. 2 years later, soon still hasn't gotten here. But I have recently reconnected with her, and I'm finally making good on the promise. I had been resting on what I had done, and I had forgotten all about what I still knew I could do. 3, ask to help, and be specific about what is offered. This is especially important in time of crisis, because in times of crisis, we often forget what we need, let alone remember to ask someone to help with the things we're forgetting. My husband and I became acutely aware of this after my second miscarriage. Folks were nice and said things like, let us know if we can do anything, but we had no idea what they could do. And then one lady called and said, I would like to help you out, you and your family, during this time. What meal can I bring for you and your family, and what do y'all like to eat? It was an easy thing to say yes to, and it was something that helped us out. Better yet, it was very specific. Another friend also called and offered to come mow the lawn for us. Again, specific and intentional. From that time on, my husband and I have learned and that we need to be specific in asking. So we will say, what do you need help with? And if they don't know what they need help with, we'll get even more specific and we'll look for a need. And then we'll say, hey, can we help here? Or one of the great ways to help a parent is to say, can I pick up the children for you? 4, keep room for help. I've talked a great deal about getting rid of the clutter, because clutter in our lives, in our homes, and in our wallets can limit so much of what we can do. I need room and space if I'm going to be always available to be relentlessly helpful. It may not be convenient, but if there is room, then I can make a way. The other day, someone called out of the blue and asked if I could come help at her house with something for a few hours. I said yes, although it meant that I had to kind of adjust my schedule some. I had my schedule worked out in such a way that it was possible to adjust it some. I had room to be helpful. It may not be as quick and painless as they say it will be, but making room will help cushion any extensions that arise. My husband agreed to go help out a friend, and he was told, hey, it'll only take 5 minutes. He had been assured that it would only take him a little bit. It did take 5 minutes to drive to his friend's house, and it took 5 minutes to drive back. The time there was calculated more in hours and not minutes. My husband had set aside a time to help, but because it went over and it crowded everything else, he called me to back him up, and that's how we do it. That's why we need room in our lives, so that we can back each other up. Being relentlessly helpful is not always going to be something that fits into the schedule, and that's okay. We learn to adjust. Relationships require investments, but the investments need to come from a place of purposeful intent, not from a place of expectation of return. When I let go of expectations, then I free up the relationship to grow into all that it can be. When I let go of expectations, then I can focus on being what you need and helping you in your journey and letting the rest work itself out. What Have You Done For Me Lately was a popular song a few decades back, partly because of the singer, mostly because of the music, at least in my opinion. But many people took up the song title and the idea behind the song and made it a life campaign. Relationships are never grown up in expectations such as that. When I start expecting you to do for me, then I jeopardize all that we have built. I have to let go of my expectations in order to free up the relationship to become all that it can be. What I'm doing is not about me, and it is not about what others can give me, since I know where my real source comes from. But it is all about being a reflection of God in me, in this world, and to this world. Jesus puts it plainly in Matthew 5:16. Now, Jesus has just finished giving the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount, where he breaks down the actions we're supposed to take and how those actions are a benefit to us. And Jesus goes on to encourage his followers to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Again, all about how we are representing in the world. And then he makes this statement, according to the King James translation. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Even my actions toward someone else is not about me or about that person. It's about God. When I get my head around that one concept, then I'm well on my way to changing my world. When I recognize that it is for God and it is to God and that the source of all my return is from God, that changes everything. Paul reminds us in his letters that we're supposed to be actively invested in others. In Romans 15:1, Paul tells us that the strong need to take up the slack for the weak instead of focusing on self-pleasing and doing for self. In Galatians 6:2, Paul writes that we are to bear one another's burdens. In Philippians 2:4, Paul again reminds us that we are to look to the interests of others and not to our own interests. And in Galatians 6:10, Paul puts it simply, let us do good to all men. Finally, Jesus reminds me that my actions reflect whose I am in this world. In John 13:34-35, Jesus has again finished an action and an activity. He's just knelt down and he's washed the feet of his followers. And Jesus declares a new commandment. Love one another. That's the new commandment. As I have loved you, you are to love each other this same way. Now, Jesus has just shown an example of this kind of love by choosing to kneel down and serve his followers with the washing of the feet. He was declaring that we are to be in service to each other. Jesus then goes on to say, by the way you choose to love and serve each other, the world will see whose you are. What I choose to do will reflect on whose I am. The effort I invest in others in building and growing relationships reflects directly on the one that has invested so much in me. I make way for doing more and giving more when I learn not to expect anything from other people in return for what I'm doing. Relationships must be a priority in my life because I am designed to be in relationships and I am designed for relationships, and we are stronger when we walk through all of this together. I need to choose to be me-focused. I need to become clutter-free, to learn to hear me or hear you, to understand and pursue investing 101, and finally come to that place of expecting nothing in return. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey to make relationships a priority. I know that it is through sharing with you and the daily reminders I receive through other relationships and through studies that I continue to focus on what matters more. I would love to hear about how your journey is going. So please feel free to email me with any thoughts, comments, or questions. You can find me at radio@katherinelang.com. I would also love to connect with you on social media. I'm easy to find. It's Katherine C. Lang everywhere. On Facebook, I'm the Katherine C. Lang. On Twitter, it's @KatherineCLang. And on YouTube, it's the Katherine C. Lang. You can also listen to all the syndicated shows of Growing Hope by visiting www.katherinelang.com/on-air. And while you're there, sign up for the weekly Reflections and Hope newsletter that I send out with a little encouragement to spark your week. I know that when I invest in you, that I grow up myself as well. When I help grow hope in you, I grow hope in myself as well. That's why we're designed to be in relationships, because when I'm doing for you, it turns out I'm also doing in my own life as well. That's the way we're designed. I am Catherine Lang, and I am your Rainbows and Lollipops host, because every day holds a promise of more, and every action contains the power of possibility. It's not about what the world says or even what the world shows. The strength of hope and encouragement will and does push through the limits and the walls of the world. My prayer is, and always will be, that the words that I share with you are helping establish foundations of hope that will shatter the delusions of the world around us. Remember, be blessed and be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Catherine Lang. Catherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Catherine's website at www.catherinelang.com. That's www.catherinelang.com. Catherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. Use the contact form on the website or email Catherine with queries or questions at contactus@catherinelang.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.catherinelang.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Catherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.